special days that, Lord, you've been with us when everything was great. But we're glad that you're not just a God of the hills, that you're a God of the valleys. We're thankful, Lord, that whether on the mountaintop or down in the valley, you're still God. And Lord, we come today, I've preached many times in different situations over the years, and I always needed your help. I don't know that I ever needed it any more than I feel like I do today. Lord, I just try to do what I can. I pray you'll bless it. And Lord, I pray you'll help your people today that we might respond the right way, do the right things. And Lord, we thank you for what we're preaching about this morning, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that's where we need to be, near the cross. And Lord, help us to stay near the cross. And Lord, if there's one lost here today, wouldn't it be wonderful to see the Lord save somebody today and show that the Lord still, nothing stops him from doing his important work of salvation. And Lord, I looked last night, and it said that there were 2.8 billion Christians in the world today. Whether that's true or not, I do not know. But Lord, I pray that you'll help folks to not to judge the whole 2.8 billion because of the weakness and failures of any one of us. You're still God, and I pray you'll, Lord, manifest and magnify yourself today. Give help to all that need it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. As we come to the closing chapter of Philippians, we have seen in every chapter that Paul is all about preaching Christ. And at the very beginning of these messages, we went over to Acts 17, and Paul is there on Mars Hill. And there's a lot of philosophers and learned and educated people that are there on Mars Hill. And it's the only time in the Bible that we find that Paul did not mention Jesus personally. He talked about him and maybe he, but he didn't mention his name. We know when he left there, he went to Corinth, and he wrote what I read to you in verse 2, that he said, I determined not to know anything except Christ and him crucified. And it seems like after, if it was a failure of Paul to mention Christ in Acts 17, that he determined to never make that mistake again. And when you follow the life of Christ and the books of Christ and the preaching of Christ, you find that Paul did it. Paul was a reconciler. When you look in verse 2, the Bible said, Paul said, I beseech Eutychus and beseech Synthenes that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I was reading a commentary on that passage, and it said that's a mistake in your Bible. It said that Eutychus was a man's name and said it should have been Eudia. Well, that's silly. My wife's name is a man's name. My wife's name's Max, but she's very much a woman. And so I believe this is just exactly who Paul said it was. But there were two women in the church that were having a disagreement. And wouldn't it be awful to have your name put in an eternal book that you caused a disagreement in the church? But Paul is a reconciler, and Paul is trying to get them to reconcile and do what they ought to do. Paul was a repeater. We find back in chapter 3 that Paul said to write the same thing unto you, to me is indeed not grievous. Paul didn't have a problem preaching the same sermon over again. Now, some people, you know, they say, I've heard that sermon before. Well, sometimes the Lord leads you to preach it again. Just make sure that you're not preaching the same sermon because you've been too lazy to pray and seek God and get a new one. Paul was a rejoicer above all things. Paul is in prison. And the key word in this epistle, and it's said over and over again, is Paul says, rejoice. In verse 4, Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. The Bible says we're to give thanks. We're to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks unto God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, he didn't say give thanks for everything. There's some things like our situation this morning I'm not giving thanks for. But I am giving thanks in all things. I'm thankful for many things that the Lord is doing and has already done and will do. Did you notice Paul starts with Christ in verse 1 of Philippians? Paul said, Jesus Christ. He said, we're a servant of Jesus Christ. The very last verse in chapter 4 and verse 23, Paul again says, the Lord Jesus Christ. This makes us think about our New Testament. In Matthew 1, we find the name Jesus Christ. In Revelations 22 and verse 21, the last verse of the New Testament, we find the name Jesus Christ. You say, what's that mean? That means Christ is all in all. That means this book is all about Christ. Amen. Many times us preachers have been guilty of preaching ourselves glorified instead of Christ crucified. And you cannot preach any length of time without mentioning yourself. But yourself always needs to be the least thing mentioned, and the most thing mentioned is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when we look here today, I want to give you three things this morning as the Lord would help us today. And my, I think they're all needed today. I know I need them, and I trust you need them, and I'm glad they're there. But Paul says in Philippians 4 and 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul is preaching, or Paul is writing about peace through Christ. And if you and I have any peace at all, it's going to have to come through Christ. You know, the first time that word peace is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 15, where that Abraham is put into a deep sleep and he has a vision of what God's going to do. And the Bible says in that 15th verse, the first time that peace is ever mentioned, it's mentioned in the context of dying. Can I tell you the greatest peace that you and I need is to have peace about dying and about having to face God. We find out that the Bible says in Colossians 1 and 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. Peace comes through the cross. If you have peace this morning, you have it because of the blood of His cross. That He suffered and died in agony on an old rugged cross for my sins and your sins and the world's sins. And I'm glad that men that is enmity with God, I'm glad we can be at peace with God through the blood of the cross. We find here also, Paul says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, I believe that has to do with the Lord's coming, but I also believe it has to do with the Lord's closeness. I'm glad the Lord is at hand. In other words, I know He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but His presence is right at hand. Boy, am I glad that the Lord is a present help in the time of trouble. Amen. I'm glad that He's right there. What Paul is saying is not only is there peace through Christ's cross, but there's peace through Christ's closeness. The closer that we are to Christ, the more peace that we have in our life. Amen. And then Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Not only is there peace through Christ, not only is there peace through Christ's closeness, but there's peace through Christ's closet. To get in the closet, Paul said, in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. I'm here to tell you this morning that I could not exist. I could not make it if I did not have a closet, a place where I can get along with Him and cry and pray and tell Him all of my heart's needs and all of my heart's secrets. I'm telling you that I find peace when I get along with Christ. Amen. I years ago, as a young preacher, on Monday morning, if it was a bad situation, attendance was down, faithful people were not there, no testimonies, nobody coming to the altar, first thing I'd do on Monday morning is I would call local preachers and my friends, and I would ask them how their day went. Hoping that their day went worse than mine. You say, why? But just about every time they'd say, oh, we had 10 saved today. The church is packed out. We had to get out chairs. And I got off the phone worse shape than I was when I got on the phone. But I learned over years of time, I learned the first thing to do on Monday morning is not call other preachers. The first thing on Monday morning is to get in a closet and shut the door and call upon God. When I do that, I find peace that I need down in the depths of my heart that I cannot find anywhere else. Amen. And so Paul is talking about peace through Christ. We find that Paul says in a very familiar verse that many Bible students and church attenders would be able to quote, and no doubt you have quoted it many times. Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In other words, not only do we find peace through Christ, but we find power through Christ. Power to do what we cannot do. Paul said when we find ourselves at our weakest, if we will lean upon Christ, we are at our strongest. Because we are not leaning upon ourselves, but we are leaning upon the Christ of Calvary to give us the strength that we need. I'm glad this morning there's power through Christ. How will we get through things? How will we deal with things? Only by power through Christ. Our energy will run out pretty quick. Our strength will turn to weakness pretty quick. But I'm glad that His power is available. And I'm glad there's power through Christ. Where does this power start? It starts with God. The Bible said in Psalm 62 and verse 11, David said, once have I heard this, yea, twice. He said, power belongs unto God. We see our lights are on this morning. That means there's a power source somewhere. We can go, if we knew where to go, we could go to a dam or a river or a power plant somewhere where that power originated. I'm here to tell you this morning, the power I'm talking about this morning that you need and I need and we find in Him, it originates with God the Father. When I was a young boy, we lived out Temple Hill, and we lived just over the hill from the substation. You say, what's a substation? Well, that's not where the power comes from. That's what the power goes through. That power originates somewhere else, but it comes to that substation and then it goes out in the different ways. I can remember as a young boy walking to school and coming by that and hearing them transformers buzzing sometimes and thinking to myself, my, what power is in there. And I didn't realize at the time that power came from a source, and that power came to the substation, and that power went out in many, many different directions. Power starts with God, but Christ is the substation. The Bible said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. You see these telephone poles, and I never thought about it for a long time. After I began preaching one day, I noticed that all those poles right across the street right now, all the way to your house right now, there's all of those power poles. And one day it dawned on me, they all look like a cross. And then something else dawned on me. It looked like something was hanging on them. And I thought, glory to God. I thought the substation is Christ. The cross, He is what was hanging on it. And it's through Him that you and I receive the power that you and I need. And it's available there. But here's the clincher. If God is the source, and Christ is the substation, you and I must be the switch. You see, there's power coming into this building. There's power coming down here. These lights, they were on because of this switch. They're off because the switch is off. But when I turn that on, the power comes in and the lights come on. What I'm saying is, you and I are the switch. It don't matter how much power's back at the source. It don't matter how much power's in the substation. It don't do you and me any good until we turn the switch on. You say, what's the switch, Brother Rick? 1 John 1:12. To as many as believe on Him, to them gave He power to be the sons of God. I'm telling you this morning that when you repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The minute you believe, the switch of faith turns on, and the power comes from the source and down to the substation and right into you, and it lights you up. Amen. The Bible said that ye are the light of the world. And so we see peace through Christ. Paul preached peace through Christ. Paul preached power through Christ. It's there. It's there. Another real familiar verse. Boy, we sure know this verse. Verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not only do we have peace through Christ, not only do we find power through Christ, but we also find provision through Christ. Everything that I need, it has to come through the cross. Amen. I'm glad that it's available. Paul said, but my God shall supply all of your need. He didn't say needs, although he will. But the word said he will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I heard a preacher say one time in a Bible conference, and I never forgot it. He said a lot of people say God will supply all your need, but not your wants. And he said, if y'all believe that, and y'all said amen. He said, okay, I'll be at your house in the morning with a tractor trailer truck to load up everything you got that you don't need. You see, our God is not only good to give us what we need, but our God is good to even let us have things that we want. Amen. I'm glad to serve a God like that this morning. Amen. I'm glad that he is able to supply all of your need this morning. Now, when we read that verse, we first of all think about physical need. Because we are in a physical body, because we live in a physical world, because we have needs of physical things. And so, yes, we can say that from the context. I want to read Matthew 6 and verse 25. The Bible said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. I bet you thought about that and you got up this morning. Has she made any coffee yet? What are we going to eat this morning? He said, not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. You probably went last night and looked through that array of dresses and said, which one am I going to wear today? Isn't it wonderful to have so many clothes? We have to make a decision on what we're going to wear. Amen. But the Lord said it's not about that. He said, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I love this. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things doeth the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto is the day of evil. And so Paul is talking here about a God that will supply our physical need. I didn't read chapter 4, but if I had, the context is that Paul's in prison. And it looks like for some reason or another, the Philippians' care of him has been withheld. Maybe they couldn't get it there to him. Maybe they were trying to gather it up. But he said after a long while, it did come. And Paul thanked them for his care. You see, God, he feeds the robin. God feeds the sparrow, but he don't pull the worm out of the ground and take it over there and drop it in their mouth. He just creates the worm, and that bird has to fly down there and pull it out. Amen. Don't sit around with your hands folded and think God's going to let everything drop in your lap. It ain't going to happen. But God has put things out there that if you get out and look, you'll find that God God has prepared for you. I'm glad that God prepares. I'm glad that God supplies through Christ every physical need that we have. Amen. If we will trust and depend upon Him. Now, listen, He may not supply, if you need a car, He may not supply a Cadillac. I was in a revival up in Indiana, and they had me staying out in a church building out there in a room. No TV, no radio, no telephone, no nothing. And you know what? You can't read the Bible all the time. You can't pray all the time. And so I got to scrounging around and looking, and I found an old radio. And I brought it in there and plugged it up, and I tuned it in, and there was a preacher on there preaching. And he was one of these prosperity preachers. And he preached how that if you'd just ask the Lord, that He would supply it. He come down to the end of his message and he said, just lay your hand on the radio and tell God what you want. I looked around. There wasn't nobody around there. I thought it's worth a try. And so I walked over there and I said, God, I need a new car. I need a Cadillac. I need a new car. Did you know what? Why, within 2 weeks, I was driving a 67 Plymouth. Amen. God knew I needed a car, but I didn't need a Cadillac. My grandchildren, the ones that are not here today, Zach and Chelsea, I used to have to go pick them up out at Eastern Elementary School. And they'd tell me after the first time or two, they'd say, Pop, don't pull up in front of the school in that. Just part way down. We don't care to walk. And I'd go through the bank, and I'd be behind, you know, a brand new car going through the bank. And then I'd pull up in my old 67 flat or 67 Plymouth. I'd pull up in it. But as I'd pull out, the one in front of me was brand new. I said, Lord, they're probably there making a big car payment. Lord, I thank you that this thing's paid for. Don't take long to pay for a $300 or $400 car. Amen. But I want you to know, listen, God will supply your physical need. But our greatest need is not our physical need. Our greatest need is our spiritual need. Don't you love Romans 5 and verse 6? When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. You know what my greatest need was? My greatest need was to be saved from the wrath of going to an eternal hell and having to stay there all of my life and suffer the wrath and the punishment of God throughout eternity. Amen. And so God says, Paul says, that through Christ, our provisions can be met. Our physical need, our spiritual need. But you know, we can go one more out. Not only our physical need and our spiritual need, but our eternal need. Eternal need. You see, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul is saying that not only will God supply our physical need and our spiritual need, but God will supply our eternal need. You say, what do you mean? Inside of you is a soul, and the Bible said that soul is more important than any part of me. The Bible said, don't fear men that can kill the body, but fear him that's able to kill both body and soul. Mark 8:36, the Bible said, if a man gained the whole world and lost his soul, what would he give in the exchange? In other words, the Bible's saying that your soul is worth more than all of the world, even if you could get it. You see, we have an eternal soul. And what that means is we're going to have somewhere eternally to live. And God has supplied two places. If you reject Christ, if you don't believe on Jesus, if you don't get saved, if you don't plead the blood and have your sins forgiven, you're going to die, and you still have to go somewhere to live forever. I know some teach that if you die lost, that's just annihilation, and you don't exist anymore. Neighbor, don't believe that. The Bible gives us a plain presentation of two men that died in Luke 16. The Bible said that there was a beggar which was laid at the gates, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. It says the rich man also died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to, that he might cool my tongue with water. And he said, Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides this, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come to you cannot, neither can you come to them. The point I'm trying to make is if you are not saved this morning, you still have to have somewhere to live eternally. And if you choose to reject Christ, He prepared a place for the devil and his angels. But if you die lost, He'll let you trespass into that place that was never made for you and spend all eternity there. But on the other hand, if you're saved, which I hope many people are, if you're saved, I'm glad Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will come again and gather you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm glad that God has provided a need, a place where that I can live eternally. You see, I'm an eternal being. I have an eternal soul. I have to have somewhere to live eternally. That's why God had provided a place like that. I was in a meeting in Elder, Ohio, Brother Kesey's, and he has a guy come in every year. He's a very learned guy, very scholarly guy, Ron Lynch. And Ron always preaches on Sunday and then leaves, so I never get to hear him. But on one particular occasion, he had preached on Sunday night. And when I got there, I said, how was services? He said, great. He said, oh my, he preached. And he said he made the most profound statement last night that I've heard in a long time. I said, what was it? He said, well, he come down to the end of his sermon, and he said these words. He said, there's some of you out there, and you don't want to go to hell. Who in their right mind would? You don't want to go to hell, but you don't want to walk the aisle this morning and get saved and trust Christ so you can go to heaven. And he said, others of you, he said, you're not a bad person, but you've never got saved. And he said, if you die, he said, you've got to go somewhere. And he said, the profound statement was the man made was this. He said, you may not want to go to heaven. You may say, that ain't for me. That singing, that That stuff the Bible talks about heaven, it ain't for me. And you say, but I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the fire. I don't want to go to the darkness. I don't want to go to a place like that. And then Brother Lynch made this profound statement. He said, you don't want to go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. But you can't stay here. Think about that. It's your choice. If you want to go to heaven, oh, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. The Bible said, I hath not seen, neither is entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. I'm glad we got somewhere to go. And what a place we've got to go. No sickness, no pain. No death, no sorrow. And the Bible said God would wipe away all tears. All tears. You say, well, that's just preacher talk. No, I like that next verse. That next verse, God said, John, write it down. For this is true. God is faithful. This is a true saying. God said it's faithful. Somebody said that John 14. Jesus was just talking about before going to the cross when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go away and prepare a place. And if I go away and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did you know that Jesus never repudiated that statement? Did you know that he never did say, hey, you know what I said about them mansions and about going to heaven? Just mark that off. No, he never did say that. Because that was the eternal word of God. And it is true this morning. Amen. So I want to be like Paul. I want to be determined not to preach anything except Christ and Him crucified. Now, I want to preach more about the cross because the older I get, the more I realize that at the cross where I first saw the light, the more I realize, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain. The more I realize on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I'm glad this morning for a God that's able to give us peace this morning, even in the midst of a storm. TJ's an artist, and sometimes a piano player can come. Sometimes this ladies auxiliary, TJ, will do the meeting. And there has been times that she has set up her canvas and she's drawn while she talked, and she's drawn out a lesson. And she has drawn this illustration out. And she made me one. I have it. But someone, if I remember correctly, someone asked this class, said, I want you all to draw a picture that depicts real peace. Real peace. After a few days, they began to turn in what they'd done. Some of them had a clear blue, cloudless sky. Some of them had this, and a river just easing along, ebbing along, just a river. But one girl, she had drew a violent storm. And it first looked like, what's this got to do with real peace? If you look real closely on this ledge, there's a little inset. There's a little bird sitting there on a nest. The lightning is flashing. The thunder's rolling. The clouds are black. The storm is raging. But there amidst that storm, back in there, is a little bird. She said, sir, that is my depiction of peace, that no matter how the storm rages, we can hide in Christ. Amen. There's peace in Him. Father, I thank You this morning.